Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Chris Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast that deals with the paranormal. Parapod, with new guests every week, from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that capture.
We go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights, actually four counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing, and it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/ Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/ CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now. You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Barbara Lamb is a certified hypnotherapist and regression therapist in Claremont, California. She received her master's degree in behavioral science at the University of La Verne in California. She specializes in regression therapy with people who experience encounters with extraterrestrial beings. Barbara was trained in regression therapy for several years during the 1980s by the Association for Past Life Research and Therapies, APRT for short. She began working with ET experiences and experiencers in 1991, and since then she has conducted regressions with more than 560 of them, totaling at least 1,800 regressions to these type of encounters. Her website is www.alienexperiences.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Barbara Lamb to the show. How are you doing tonight, Barbara?
Oh, just fine. Happy to be with you.
It is great to have you here. And we've really been talking a lot more this year. I know Doug and I have discussed this, and we've really been diving into a lot more UFO experience stuff, whether, you know, whatever shape or form it comes in. I think the whole UFO thing is just, it's a fascinating subject. And, you know, obviously what we do, we're this show, I think what Doug was, when I stepped away for a second, Doug was explaining to you kind of, I think, what we, you know, how the show was born and whatnot. And it was out of ghost hunting. But I think the UFO thing, you know, as far as what our show's done, has been something really neglected. And I really wanted to talk more about that. That's why we have you here also. So thanks for joining us.
Good. You're so welcome. And, you know, I was saying to Doug that talking about ghosts, well, those are what we could call other dimensional beings. And some of the extraterrestrials that visit people certainly seem to be coming in from other dimensions, as well as more physical ones who are coming from other areas of space.
And we've heard theories like that, too, that the ghosts we see could be some type of manifestation of UFOs or aliens themselves. So, you know,
well, they could. And, you know, there's a very interesting aspect that I had wondered about for some years, and I think that I have an accurate answer to it now, which is, like, what happens to us after we die? Well, I feel totally convinced that we live on and we go to another dimension, or we hang around and, you know, kind of appear as ghosts or attached to people. But also, my question was, what happens to extraterrestrial beings after they die? And there was information that came through from an extraterrestrial who used to channel a lot of information through one of my clients. And he said, well, okay, they go to their own spiritual dimension after they die, that is the extraterrestrials do. And so I said, well, what if after I die or any of us die and we go into a spirit realm, a different frequency, would we have a chance to actually meet up with the souls of the extraterrestrials after they died?
Mm-hmm.
And this source, which seems to be a being from the binary star system of Antares, way out there in space, he said that we wouldn't be so likely to just bump into them, so to speak, or intermingle with them, but if we sought it out, we could. So I thought, you know, that's really pretty neat for any of us who would really like to have experiences with some of these ETs, that maybe we won't in this physical lifetime, but maybe we will in the next phase, the next dimension.
Well,
we physically die.
I can just say about that that you just pretty much put the mind melt on me, I think. Because that is, that's a trip right there. I mean, it's fascinating because I never really thought, I mean, because we think about, you know, life after death, right? And we're like, okay, well,
yeah.
You know, most of what I think a lot of us hear is, you know, when we pass on, we get to go and see our relatives that have passed on, right? That's a big thing.
Oh,
we
sure.
get to see our kind, right? The fleshy bags
sure.
of water.
Humans.
Yeah, the humans that are out there, right? And we get to see them, and a lot of them we know, maybe friends or family. But I never thought I'd bump in, you know, to a gray. You know, hey,
well,
how you doing? Yeah, I'm dead too. Whoa, okay, cool.
Well, I think the point here from this message, from this other being, was that we probably wouldn't just bump into them. But
yeah.
if we asked, because we're presumably going to be very conscious, non-physical beings at that point in time, if we really ask, like, how could I meet with the soul of an extraterrestrial, then we would be instructed about how to do that.
So it is possible.
So probably,
yeah. I'm sorry.
It's possible. Yeah, and so when we all die, we probably will be with people we have known and especially those we love and maybe pets that we have left here and they've
mm-hmm.
gone on too.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's exciting to think that there could be even more to it than that, you
well,
know, by meeting some of these other beings if we wanted to.
Well, yeah, hence the mind melt here. You know, it's like,
yeah.
what, there's more to contemplate besides, like, okay, what because, I mean, pretty much what we've been doing here for the last 7 years has been, okay, you know, a lot of it's been, okay, well, what happens after we die? You know, what do we become ghosts? Do we become spirits? Do we become poltergeists? I mean, there's all these different names for them now. But
sure.
now we can throw this into the mix, too, and go, well, yeah, maybe we're going to be talking to extraterrestrials that have died on stars that are, you know, 5 parsecs away from us here that, you know, they're just, you know, light years away. That just like...
Oh, yeah.
Doug, are you still there, dude?
Yeah, and I'm interested in... You said that this information you got from somebody who was under hypnosis, who was channeling, you know, an entity. But what I'm wondering more... That's going to be fairly unusual, isn't it, to get such kinds of information? Like,
yeah.
most alien experiencers still... You'll be able to delve in through hypnosis and through, you know, through your mechanisms and retrieve what they remember of the experience or what they can remember. And so this is actually kind of, how many people do you think are this extraordinary that you've run into that can actually talk live, like in real time with somebody in another dimension?
Yeah, well, actually, I have regressed by now from, you know, extended from that information which I'd already given you a while back, but it's been 660 people now whom I've regressed.
That's
a lot of people. So
that's 100 more.
100 more, right.
Yeah.
So after that many people being regressed, and some of them have had many regressions with me, so I'd say it's a very small proportion of people whom I've actually worked directly with who have been able to, during the session, channel or, you know, bring through information from some other kind of being. But one woman I worked with, for about 10 years, and I imagine, we must have had at least 100 or more sessions, that in some of those sessions she would regress to direct experiences that she'd had with these extraterrestrial beings. And other sessions, she would just go into a nice state of relaxation right in my office when she would feel that this particular entity, who said we could call him Ohana, that she would just, you know, close her eyes and lean up against the arm of the sofa and hold her head in her hand, so to speak. And then her voice would change and in would come this message, or, you know, messages that would sometimes go on for an hour or so from this other being.
Uh-huh.
And I felt that I was really talking to somebody else. In fact, I don't know how we can explain this exactly, but when this channeling was going on right there in my office, the energy in the room literally felt like it was changing. And it felt very warm and a very pleasant sensation, a very full kind of rewarding frequency. It wasn't frightening, it wasn't freaky or anything like that. It just felt wonderful. And I know that I could ask questions of this being and he could answer them and he could bring up topics to discuss. And what amazes me through this client and many, many other clients is how much these other beings seem to know about us. So I don't know whether that means that they do remote viewing of us from heaven knows where, or literally, or whether they do remote sensing, or their telepathic skills just go over huge distances of space. But again and again, it just seems like they know about us, and they come here to even find out more about us.
Well, what makes us so fascinating?
Really?
Well,
you know, this being I have referred to who channeled through this one client, he said that the human beings are made up of genetic material from many, many different extraterrestrial races out in space.
Mm-hmm.
And so since so many of them seem to have a part in influencing us, influencing our creation and our development as intelligent beings, that a lot of them are very interested, very curious about how we're doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, almost in a sense, kind of like, you know, you donate your sperm here or your eggs here
mm-hmm.
on Earth to another Earth person. And after a while, you know, you might want to know how that child is doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
that way.
It's natural.
Because it's partly you
mm-hmm.
or partly your reproductive, your genetic material. So that's one thing that they all seem to have a stake. I don't know if they all do, but many of these different species seem to have a stake in us and our development. And some of them feel very, very benevolent toward us.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to guide us toward improvements, toward better ways of living here on Earth. And they even want to help people sometimes with their health concerns. In other words, I've had quite a number of clients who've been physically healed by extraterrestrials, even healed of very, very drastic things like colon cancer and breast cancer and brain tumors. I mean, things that are really challenging, you know, to fix here with our medical systems. And one person who is a chain smoker, and it was just killing him,
mm-hmm.
Big, strong man, but he had a heart problem, and here he was smoking all the time. And so the ETs came one night, and they had him lie on the bed and kind of go into, like a state of sleep or maybe sort of a deep meditative state. And they specifically directed his wife to lie right next to him. So in other words, the man was lying, you know, sort of in a fetal position, and she was instructed to lie right behind him in a kind of a fetal or spoon position,
mm-hmm.
and then to put her arm around him from the back and right over his heart and then over his lungs. And they were channeling information through her to help him to clear up his lungs and to get over his addiction to smoking. And after that session, which went on for a couple of hours, they both kind of woke up or came to and, you know, got up and fixed dinner and had their evening. And then he never smoked a cigarette again.
Well,
I mean, it was just amazing.
Uh-huh.
And that's just one example of so many kinds of healings that these ETs do with certain people.
They should do that on myself and Doug, because we both smoke cigarettes, too. I think
yeah.
Doug, I think we could use this thing, man.
I think that would be plenty of it. I don't know if we're important enough or deserving enough. But I think
are.
That...
Sure you are.
So they're running around, and now, was this like... Because there's several kinds, then, of extraterrestrials that people have experienced. And,
yeah.
You know, you had said there's the kind that are physical and maybe kind that are... you know, ethereal looking or ghost-like looking and maybe just projections of E.T. somewhere else. But, yeah, I mean, there's got to be, what forms do they take to people? And, you know, what do people tell you that they remember of their forms, their solidity or, if that's even a word, I don't know, solidness, is that the word, or their physical... How are they physically to the people that are experiencing them?
Well, you know, in these regressions, I counted up one time recently, and I recognized that there were 37 different types of ETs that I could remember that, you know, without looking up all my records, but 37 different types of ETs that people had described in their regressions with me. And I would say that many of those, probably more than not, of those seem to have some physical density like we do. And some of them didn't. Some of them seem to be more spirit-like, more, less dense, so to say,
mm-hmm.
probably other dimensional. And some beings seem to be very non-physical, ethereal, in other words, as they would appear, and then they'd seem to be dense for a while, like we are, and then they would sort of disappear. In other words, it seems like they can just sort of pop back out into another dimension, just like we see UFOs doing that. You know, lots of people watching a UFO in the sky will be looking at the sky, and they don't see anything, and then suddenly, pop, there's a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a little while, bloop, it's gone. It's not that it flies away.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to blink out. And so I would surmise that maybe that UFO is coming in from a different dimension and can suddenly be solid enough so that we see it. And then it becomes less solid, more other dimensional. And that's why it looks like it disappears.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard for us to know, but that's mm-hmm. what it seems like. And I think it's the same with some of these beings, too.
Well, you know, and here's the part of the show where I insert my UFO experience, because everybody loves to hear about it over and over again, so I'm going to do it again, Barbara.
Oh, good.
And Doug's
good.
Doug's going to probably love me for it also, right, Doug?
I'm smiling already.
Well, no, because I am going to... it's always a good benchmark. We, you know, again, listening audience, sorry, deal with it. Basically, you know, we had this experience last November. Myself, my girlfriend, and our friend Tom saw a UFO. There's no doubt in my mind we saw something that just we could not explain it. And now you meant, just as we're talking, I'm listening to you talk here, Barbara, you say that mm-hmm. these things, that's the reason that these things kind of come in and out. You know, you see something in the sky, right? And then,
right.
boom, gone. It just disappears. Just blinks out. Right.
right?
Yeah. This is exactly what we saw. It came back twice.
Well,
it came back
exciting.
Two times. Yeah, it came back two
really?
Times. Well, yeah, it came back
that's
the first time.
The same event, you mean?
The same event, yeah. It came. I was on the couch, and my girlfriend called me out on the patio and said, look at this thing. And we watched it for about 5 minutes, and then it just seemed to go away. Right. And
yeah,
we were like, just because we, you know, just out of curiosity, you know, who knows what was going to happen. We said, Tom, go get your camera just in case it comes back. And we were right.
Oh,
It came back and started cruising around out way out in the sky again. So we, but then as it came back, it just disappeared out and went away again. So, you know, I've seen that personally, that these things, you know, if that's the explanation, that they are going between dimensions. It seems very probable.
Yes.
It was there, and it was just it's gone. Just totally blinked out.
Yeah, so maybe they do it some other way. I mean, maybe they can zip away that fast. But I think that this thought about they're going in and out of dimensions really makes sense to me.
Well,
and, I mean, this isn't what we usually are accustomed to here, for sure. But I think that these beings... and their craft you know, have these abilities that we don't think we have. Maybe some people do, but, you know, we don't think we do. We certainly don't recognize that.
Well, and that may explain ghosts also, though, too, because we've heard how many stories I'm sure all three of us on the line here have heard over and over again about somebody going, well, I was just walking through the hallway of this library or building or whatever I'm at, and all of a sudden there was this thing in front of me looking at me or just doing something or whatever it may be, and then it just faded away. It just disappeared or it faded away, and it was gone. It's the same exact thing, it sounds like to me.
I know it, and I've had those experiences, too, with deceased loved ones whom I see very, very clearly here. I mean, they look so physical at the time. They look so 3D, so technicolor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I might look away just for a moment, shift my position or something, and then I look back where I saw the person, and bing, that person's gone.
Yeah, yeah, and exactly.
Yeah. So I think we don't experience that with other people like ourselves here on Earth, but I think with these other beings, they do. Anyway, I'd like to get back to why ETs are so interested in Earth.
Yeah, sorry about that. We kind of got off on a tangent there.
We do that, Barbara. Keep us on track.
please, we need the help.
We have so much we could spin off into, and
I tell you what, Barbara, why don't we do this, okay? I hate to get rolling on something and then have to cut you off. We actually have to go to break. Well, let's take a break a little bit early, okay? So we can come back fresh. Is that cool with you?
Okay.
Will that work?
Sure.
I don't want to go get a couple minutes into that and then have to go, shut up, Barbara, we have to go to break. I don't want to do that to you. So why don't let's take a break, freshen up a little bit here, and we can come back and get right back into where we left off. Is that cool?
Terrific.
All right, hang tight. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
Yeah, we'll be right back after this. Talking to Barbara Lamb here about just fascinating stuff. And again, I'm identifying. I saw a UFO too. I see exactly what she's talking about. We'll be right back.
Okay.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Which pass the boundaries of the natural.
Ghosts, Bigfoot, extraterrestrials,
Terra Hub Radio,
psychics, parapsychology, Loch Ness Monster,
Terra Hub Radio,
paranormal news, giveaways, open chat,
Terra Hub Radio,
classic rock, and paranormal talk, Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, at parahub.org, bouncradio.net, and beastradio.com.
Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures, planetary mind control, military cover-up, corporate
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control,
unidentified flying
objects,
presidential
assassinations,
population control,
pyramids,
pyramids,
pyramids, fascism,
cryptozoology,
alchemy,
Out there.
It's a strange world. Visit outthereradio.net.
You know, we are, I have to say, Ghostly Talk is true art, because there's no other show you're going to listen to. You're going to hear a band like Onslaught lead us in and hear and lead us into the soft, wonderful voice of Barbara Lamb. There's no one else that's going to do that here, okay? You're not going to hear some band throttling full speed ahead and then lead us right into the soft and wonderful voice of Barbara Lamb. Thank you, Barbara, for joining us again tonight. We really appreciate it. And before we went, before we went to break, we went all over the place, basically. We talked about all kinds of wild stuff, but we wanted to pull it back to these regressions that you're doing. This is what you do, right? And I wanted to give you the floor back, because we kind of got off, but I didn't want to cut you off again, like I said before, so we got a fresh time here.
You know what? I think we left off when we were talking about why extraterrestrial beings are so interested in us humans.
And they
are interested in humans all over the world. All different races that we are, and different cultures, different ways. Well, one of the reasons I was told by this extraterrestrial I mentioned is that Earth has so many different species, millions and millions and millions of species, all kinds of life forms and subspecies, and oh my gosh, I mean, there's no other planet in existence, according to that information, that has nearly the number of species that we do. This planet is so teeming with life in the air and in the waters. You know, it's really amazing. So that's a very attractive feature for them, to learn about all these different life forms. And another reason given often is that they're very, very concerned about our nuclear capability and, you know, how emotional and irrational and warlike many, many human beings are. Not all of us, thank goodness. But they're really very concerned that we might unleash this nuclear power either by accidents or intention or war or bombs, whatever, and that it would not only pollute the whole Earth and endanger and probably eliminate most of our species, but it would even go throughout the solar system, and even, they say, beyond our solar system, the nuclear damage. So this is really of great concern to these other intelligent lives that live elsewhere. So put together our emotions, our warlikeness, our competition, our wild impulses that we have, and this incredible technology, you can really appreciate why they want to keep an eye on us. And, you know, probably you too know that, and some of your listening audience too, that extraterrestrials have really done a tremendous amount of help here. In other words, they've come and they've taken off the huge, heavy tops of some of our nuclear missile silos and have deactivated the nuclear warheads of some of our missiles when the Cold War was really very hot and we could have sent them off at any time. And so they've deactivated some of our most dangerous weapons that we have.
Good for them.
Terrific. Just like there's a wonderful video that I've seen, and probably many of you have too, of Mexico City and the huge earthquake, a huge volcano that is outside of Mexico City, and that just a few years ago it was starting to spout lava, steaming and hissing, and there's a video that somebody took from Mexico of a beautiful white orb of light flying along during the daytime, beautiful blue sky in the background, and it hovered, it stopped right over the open mouth of the volcano, paused for a moment, and then dove, like plunging way down into the volcano. And for a little bit, you can see the lava coming out still, and the hissing and the steaming, and then that became less and less, simmered down, no more lava, no more steam coming from the volcano. And then up came this beautiful white ball, this sphere, again, paused for a moment, and then flew away. So it certainly seems like that ball of light, or whatever it was, you know, somehow deactivated the volcano. I mean, you don't hear about this stuff in the news, but it's absolutely phenomenal. So it's that way with some of the ETs, too, who personally come here. Some of them are more self-serving, for sure, and they do a lot of experiments with people, and they put implants in people. They test us in all kinds of ways. They're trying to learn about our biology and all of our systems and reproductive systems and trying to produce hybrid children. So there's that part of it, which appears to be more serving of themselves than of, you know, caring for us. But then that seems to get balanced out by other beings who come here who really seem to help people. And I mentioned the healing before. There's plenty of these healing procedures that go on by ETs. But also some of these ETs seem to take certain people away for little episodes and teach them and train them in some really wonderful skills, like ecological skills, for instance, being really aware of Earth ecology and to do something about it. Or they're trained in psychic skills, or people are trained by them in developing their own healing abilities so they can heal their fellow human beings or heal animals. And sometimes they take people away, this has come out in some of my regressions, to special council meetings out in space. And it seems like that might be on a huge craft somewhere, that there are representatives from many, many, many different extraterrestrial species that are at the council meetings, and maybe four or five human beings who've been taken, abducted, but we'll say taken, for this purpose, because they want representatives from planet Earth, like they want representatives from the other planets that support very intelligent life. So, you know, there's this sort of thing that goes on, and they do encourage people in doing many different missions. Like one person I worked with was trained to help children who have autism. Now, this was a woman who had no interest. She was doing advertising and promotional work for her job, and she had no training in nursing or medicine or anything, but this one female ET kept coming and working with her and letting her actually see her physically there in her home on occasion, and feel her hand, hold her hand, and that being taught her how to work with children who have this special problem of autism. And other people have been trained by ETs to get past their prejudice against other life forms, like and people getting past their violence toward other life forms. Like, for instance, one young woman came for a regression and found out that even back at age four, a particular ET was visiting with her and teaching her, even from that early age, to warn other people, to educate other people not to do animal vivisection or any kind of testing of animals or harming of animals or, you know, dumping off animals in dumpsters and all of that. And she grew up to be a very, very strong animal rights person, you know, really carrying on that work. So, you know, there are just lots of different things. And some people have found out that they are serving as what they call windows for certain extraterrestrials to understand humans and Earth life. And one woman that I regressed many times found out eventually that she had originally, many lifetimes ago, been an extraterrestrial of a very different type, a very highly spiritual type, sort of like a radiant being that didn't have much dense physicality. And that race of beings was very, very interested in the dense, more limited forms of life, like ourselves, on Earth. And so they sent her several incarnations ago to Earth to be a human being. And then they could know about human beings. They could come and visit her and study her and learn a whole lot about human beings through one of their own who was at the time a human being. Well, that woman came here many lifetimes ago. And then what she got here, because we have a certain system here, which we call karma. So what she got here, she built up karma. They called it residue, but we would call it karma. And that meant she had to keep coming back as a human being to take care of that karma. Mm-hmm. And, of course, each time she'd come back, she'd build up a little bit more of a different kind of karma that had to be repaid or straightened out.
Yeah.
So she's still here. And they gave her this wonderful gift. I think it's phenomenal. They gave her the gift of telling her what her six major karmic issues are that she needs to work through before she doesn't have to come back here as a human anymore, and she can return to being one of those beautiful, glowing spiritual beings.
Well, yeah, Barbara, now I want to ask you about that, because we've often talked about different levels of existence in a spiritual sense or a physical sense, and it's, you know, kind of based on what we're talking about here, it's interesting because obviously, you know, I think it's obvious in this realm, our physical realm, you know, it's a very dense world we live in. We have gravity. Everything's heavy. Our bodies are sluggish. They're, you know, it's a very low vibration, right? And I've often heard, well, there's different, you know, there's other levels of existence where you're, you know, you become lighter. You become a lighter being. You know, you get out there. Now, could this possibly be not just, like, different? It sounds like to me that us as humans, this may be a lower vibration level, like I said before, but when we, how you say, it isn't just a different level of existence, it may be a different race of people we're a part of someday. We build up our karma to get out of jail here, right? More or less. Get out of jail here. And okay, we do that, and then we move on to it, you know, we become, in, through reincarnation possibly, we become part of another race, right? You follow what I'm saying? Is that kind of where we're going with this?
Yes, well, just like if we stay right on the human level, we can be a white person in one incarnation. We could be a black African person in another lifetime. We could be a male one lifetime, a female another lifetime. We could be an Eskimo in another lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, we keep coming back and we can have very, very different experiences. And even more than that now, we're expanding that to include that sometimes people are human beings on Earth, and sometimes they seem to be other species of what we call extraterrestrial beings in other lifetimes. And that has come through quite a number of regressions that I've done with people. We haven't expected that, you know, when we go into the regression, but we found out that sure enough, I mean, to our surprise, the person is a very different kind of being.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's always a particularly good reason for coming into life here on Earth as a human being for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, I usually mean, oh, it could be for several lifetimes or maybe even many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And during those lifetimes, that soul as a human will probably experience contacts with the race of ET beings that they originally came from. I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't
yeah.
it? It's like you sort of send your representative to another part of the world and you want to go and visit that person and find out how the person's doing.
Well, yeah. You know, it just sounds like, from what we've been talking about here, that, again, these other races, they do have a vested interest in us and this planet. There's, I mean, what the gist of what I think we're talking about here, which blows me away, is that, like you just said, it opens us up to a whole universe, not just our whole planet, but a whole universe
yes.
out there. You know, that we're
we're
not just humans; we're a part of a bigger thing. And I, you know, karma, for example, I believe I'm a strong proponent of karma.
Okay.
I live by it. It's something I'm thinking about all the time. You know, if that idiot mm-hmm. cuts me off in traffic, right, you know, and he just he grinds my nerves into the ground, do I retaliate and go cut him off, you know, or just something stupid that I, you know, that goes through my mind, I go, you know, I'd really like to get that guy back for doing that, but my mind will always come back and say, Scott, all you're doing is creating more bad karma for yourself, and you're sending it out
mm-hmm.
to the universe. You got to let off that stuff and just let it go and walk away.
And right.
That's what I base every. That's how I operate every day. I think, and I think,
good.
I think what we have with the karma aspect of this is so many people that just can't let things go all the time. And believe me, I'm not. I'm working on it. You know, I'm not perfect yet. I'm trying, but
You know, it's a tough one because we're emotional people,
mm-hmm.
and we get scared, and we have adrenaline suddenly pouring through our bodies, and we get reactive. And so, you know, it really takes something to kind of tone that down sometimes and get perspective. And, you know, I mean, I react that way, too. If I'm suddenly cut off dangerously in traffic, and I try to bring my awareness around to, okay, breathe out and let it go, and
yeah.
and bless that person that he's going to be okay, and he's not going to create any accidents.
Well, you're nicer than I am, because I don't think that. I go, I'm going to let this go, but, you know.
Yeah, but, well, it takes me a moment or two, I'll tell you.
But, I mean, for all we know, for all I know, for example, I mean, all this karma, I could be going through this too, where, you know, look, every time I do respond negatively to situations like that, it could be slowing my progression down into, you know, rising up and rising my vibrational level and becoming a better being, or, you know, bettering myself, not just as, you know, hey, I'm going to get a better job. You know, I mean, it's going to
yeah.
be, I mean, as in the huge cosmos of our existence as souls, I guess, because we're all beings. This can,
yeah.
this is a, it's much, and I think it's much more important than that. You know, we've often said that on the show here, that there, it's these little things, I think, and there's been debate about this too. It's these little things in life that you do, I think. You know, I always like to use the example of opening a door for somebody. You know, it's these little things that a lot of people, I think, especially here in Michigan, that they neglect and they don't think about it, or just these little things like, hey, if somebody drops something, you see them drop it, hey, you drop this thing, you know, hey. It's these little things out there, I think, that really make the most of it, and it's these genuine acts. They have to be selfless acts, I think, of kindness
yeah.
towards people that really, I think, drum up this good karma and kind of get this whole karma thing whirling around. And I think, you know, there's a good, Doug, and I think you've seen this commercial too. There's a commercial out there I've seen where it's somebody's walking down the street and they fall over or something like that, and that creates a reaction where something hits somebody in the head, and they get angry about that, and they think it's thrown at somebody else. And basically the point is that it just kind of goes into this whole cycle of negativity where one person...
chain reaction.
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
chain reaction where everybody's reacting.
Yeah.
And that's what karma, I think, really is. That person cuts me off in traffic, right? I get angry, and now I'm cranky. I go into work, and I treat everybody like crap all day long, and I treat like 10 people like crap all day long. Those 10 people go out there and treat 10 more people like crap, because they're in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And it's a snowball effect, right? And
yeah,
that's what I think
yeah.
the importance of karma is right there, because I could have stopped that. I could have just let it go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Went into work.
Yeah,
and
we have a choice.
Yeah, and put it behind me instead of creating that karma. So, yeah, and it, yeah, I'm running with this karma thing like a marathon. I know, I'm sorry. but it ties
well, it's
in.
An important theme.
Yeah.
Important theme for you. And
yeah.
I think even in that universal sense, to bring it back to that, you know, it makes a difference. It makes a difference about what we do. And another thing I'd like to kind of swing it around
sure.
to is that a lot of people, you know, when they suspect that they're having extraterrestrial contacts, which they usually think of as of abductions, which has kind of a nasty connotation to it, if they will venture forth with courage to have a regression to find out details of that little bit that they remember, you know, they remember just a little bit of an experience, but they know it must have been longer because maybe they were gone for a couple of hours or whatever. If they will dare to venture forth and have the experience, they might go into it with a lot of fear and trembling, and being really afraid of what they're going to find out. I've had so many people feel that, and I certainly can appreciate it. And yet, when they're actually in the regression, they're experiencing it, they're more conscious of it, they're participating in it in a sense, they very often find out that there are some really good surprises. In other words, there may be a physical exam that goes on first by these ETs, and of course they look different than we do, and sometimes they look pretty peculiar or pretty frightening from our subjective point of view. And but then they may find that there's another whole portion of the experience after that. For instance, they may be taken into another room, and they may be introduced to other extraterrestrial beings, and they may be taught all kinds of things. They might be given technological information that they can use here that could be very useful and helpful. Or, as I mentioned, they may be taught psychic skills or healing skills or educated in various ways that they could come back to Earth and help humanity or help the Earth itself. So, or they may participate in giving ideas and helping those beings to understand us human beings more. Or sometimes people are simply very sound asleep at night at their own home, and they're so sound asleep that anybody with them just could not wake them up, even shaking them and pounding on them. But what's happening is that the person is in such a deep state and is being totally downloaded with very valuable information from the extraterrestrials. So, yeah, so a lot of people have experiences with the ETs, but not necessarily in the form of being taken away.
Well, that's the crap that freaks me out, though, Barbara, okay? Now, that this is the stuff. When I'm dead asleep, and I've heard story after story of this, where we've heard of somebody pound, you know, out like a light, and they wake up, and there is an ET standing there in their room. And
yes.
You know, I am embracing the, you know, extraterrestrials. I really want to learn more about this. I mean, like I said, we've seen something, okay? But that stuff really kind of scares me, Barbara. I'm nervous about that. But I mean, it seems like there's a good reason for all this.
Well, you know, I just think it's the most understandable thing in the whole world. That if you're sound asleep and you wake up and there's somebody there, I mean, even if it's a human there, you're going to be startled. You're going to be distressed, you know, alarmed. And then add to that, if it's a whole different kind of being that you're not familiar with, you know, an extraterrestrial being who looks different, you know, that's even more startling and freaky. So I have enormous empathy for people who experience that. But I do want to rush on to say that if people, as I was saying before, will look into it in terms of a hypnotic regression, there are always going to be surprises, and some of them are going to be very, very pleasant, rewarding surprises, as well as perhaps finding out things that they're not so fond of. But, boy, I really give courage. I give my hats off to people who will venture forth and really try to find out more about it.
Oh, well, I know we are here. Unfortunately, Barbara, and this bums me out. It always bums me out. We really need to, Doug, we need to figure out a new plan here with the show. We need some flexibility or something. We got to do something because we, you know, Barbara, we always have, we love talking to people like yourself. And I've been just sitting here literally you know, I'm not a, it's obvious that I'm, you know, I'm not a, a man of few words, right? And, but I've been sitting here just hypnotized listening to what you had to say about this, and it really is just such a mind-opening experience. And it makes me think more about how, you know, the universe itself, again, is not, we're not just one planet here. And the things the things we do, even down to our single lives, just our lives with karma, affect, I think, the whole mechanics of the universe. And it's just, it's such a fascinating subject. But the problem is it's 9 o'clock. We're like totally out of time here. And I'm so sorry, because I would have, we gotta have you come back on and talk more with us about this stuff.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to.
And I don't even know. I mean, I'm looking at this list we had of topics. I don't know if we touched maybe a quarter of them. We just kind of, we jammed here, and I learned so much. Thank you so much, Barbara.
You are welcome. What a pleasure.
Yes, hang on.
And me too. Yeah. Thank you, Barbara. It was a pleasure. Hang on a moment.
Yeah, don't leave us just yet, but hang on the line for 1 second, Barbara. We're going to close the show out here. And, you know, as much as I'd love to sit here and talk to Barbara some more, I think as soon as I push this, you know, and see this show out, my face is just going to hit the keyboard. I'm totally...
I think, Scott, that you did a fantastic job. Thank you so much for holding the fort down.
No problem. Thanks. No, that's what we're here to do. Without further ado, though, because my voice is, it's ready to go any second here. I can feel it. So thank you all out there in radio or podcast or internet or whatever land it is nowadays. There is no definitive radio land anymore. It's all one cool electronic thing. Thank you for all you guys who listen to the show. Thanks to Doug and Bonnie for, you know, helping out down there in Indiana. We'll all be back here in studio next weekend again, full force. It's been a great show. We thank you to Barbara. Thank you so much for joining us again. We had an absolute... amazing experience. Tina Foster, who joined us in the second hour. Thanks to Brian for warming us up for the OhioCon 2009 convention. It's going to be a really great year. It's time to get on the road again for us, so we're going to be talking more about that in the future. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L. Doug, you there? Doug, are you there?
Goodbye.
I think Doug is gone. We lost. You know what, Barbara? You're right. He just popped off the phone line. We lost him. So you know what? This has been. I tell you what, Barbara. We can lead out here. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L. And who are you?
Barbara Lamb.
Thank you, Barbara. Guys, we'll see you guys next week.